We're going to open God's Word this morning to the book of Mark, to the 11th chapter, where our hearts are invited to not only hear the story of Jesus' trial and full entry, but more importantly, to catch the message of our invitation to follow Him. Hear the Word of God. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them. And the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. If you've been following the news lately, you would have seen a number of newspapers mark this news event. Prime Minister, Premier, and Mayor all go and witness giant pandas at the Toronto Zoo. Go a little bit later and you've seen first official state visit to the White House. Prime Minister Trudeau makes visit to Washington. Or you can't help but miss this one. Circus evades the United States. In all likelihood, Clinton and Trump will run for president of the United States. All of those individuals, I need to tell you, ride in style. If they were to go to any event, you can be sure that they are decked out in the best of transportation. The Prime Minister of Canada, surrounded by the RCMP and his own security detail, will follow him in his Cadillac DTS or black Suburban, usually led by 5 cars, some out front and some behind, either Chrysler 3000s, Dodge Chargers, or Mercury Grand Marquis. What do people think when they follow the Prime Minister? Does his mode of transportation reveal humility, opulence, power? Is it maybe a picture to the rest of the world saying how silly they are for the opulence of their leader, of the huge entourage of security? Would people even notice what our Prime Minister drives in? Would they even notice if he drove in on a scooter, went in a 2000 Dodge Grand Caravan that maybe was rusting a little bit, or if he went to the White House in a 1999 Honda Civic with 430,000 kilometers? As you open Mark chapter 11, it's as if the people barely even notice that Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding a donkey. It's as if they're there on the streets lined of Jerusalem, but that they're not really there. I wonder if those who had lined the street of Jerusalem had their own impressions of what was really going on. If they had their own understanding of who Jesus was supposed to be, of what this event of riding in Jerusalem was really all about. Of course, they had their minds made up, didn't they? On this side, they had hoped and they were longing for a king who would ride in Jerusalem, who would again reestablish Israel as a nation, who would get rid of the Roman occupation, who would come in and start a battle and would finish it. On the other side is the story of grace and of hope and of the love of God. And I wonder, as we look at it in Palm Sunday, if we see the difference between the two stories and how that affects our understanding of Jesus, of what we think about when we walk into this day called Palm Sunday. When we come to worship, does our understanding of Jesus and his life and his ministry change how we worship? What's he really saying? You know, I think a lot of times we run from one Sunday to the next. And especially this week called Holy Week, where we walk into Sunday and, oh yeah, there's Friday, but we don't like talking about Friday. Because Friday is the messiness of the story. It is the story of Jesus dying, fulfilling everything that the Bible has said so far. And then being buried in a tomb. And then being raised to new life. And we love Easter, don't we? But I think we move so quickly to Easter that we forget about Palm Sunday. And what it says about faith. What it says about Jesus. What it says about our worship. Because you got to picture it. Remember those modes of transportation that we talked about? When an emperor or a king would ride into town, he would do so much like that. On a majestic stallion. There would be chariots that would go before him and after him. There would be trumpet bearers before him and after him. There would be military behind him and before him. And it would be, look at me. Put your eyes on me. Be sure you realize who's in control. But remember the story. Jesus comes in on a donkey. An unridden, actually it's not even a donkey, it's a colt. It's been unridden. A symbol of humility and of peace. And yet there they were, expecting a military leader who would lead them. They were expecting that. They were expecting one who would come with prominence and power. It really sums up, doesn't it, everything that the prophets had said. Let me share with you what Zechariah writes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. I want us to pause this morning and not move so quickly to Good Friday or Easter, because Palm Sunday messes with the political structure of the day. But more than that, I believe Palm Sunday is a threat into our own hearts and our own lives, to maybe our arrogance and our pride, to our sinful hearts, to our understanding of power and what it's really all about. Can you picture the jitteriness of our passage? Of Herod and Pilate? Seeing a street lined with women and children and men from everywhere coming and pledging their allegiance to Jesus. It was turning the world upside down. Picture the religious leaders. It was no longer about them, but it was about this guy named Jesus. And when it says that they came in, they laid down their cloaks We don't understand that, but in the day of our passage, what it really was saying is, we submit to you. We pledge our allegiance to you. And when they took their palm branches and they waved them, they were worshiping. And when they laid them down, again, it was a sign of submission to Jesus. The world order was being turned upside down. And they knew who he was. Because you remember, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. People had told the story of Jesus. And this city, which would swell at times, especially the times of the Passover, from 80,000 to 2 million people, were now lining the streets. And Herod and Pilate and the religious leaders realized that this Jesus needed to be stopped. He was infiltrating their lives. And they said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were saying this, "Save us. Save us now." I love how Vicki Cox summarizes what the commentators say about this passage. When he's saying, save us now, he's saying, save us from our petty nationalism, from our party politics, from our desire to be separated by race or ethnicity or denomination. He's saying, save us from that, because the gospel is more than that. The gospel transcends all of that. The gospel is for male and for female, for rich and for poor, for black or for white, for Jew or for Gentile, for Canadian and for Iraqi, for American, for Finnish. Save us from our petty nationalism. But he also says, save us from our fickle faith. When we say we believe and then we don't believe, and then we believe and we don't believe, or where we come to church at Christmas and Easter and that's enough. He says, save us from our foolish expectations of glory. Or like the disciples would say, who would sit on the right and to the left? Who would be greatest in the kingdom? Save us from our desire to be great. And so Jesus rides into Jerusalem and he fulfills the prophecy. But you may be saying, what does that got to do with me? Well, it has lots to do for you and I. Because Jesus' ride into Jerusalem gives us encouragement. It gives us the ability to trust when we're suffering, to have hope and encouragement and direction. All things we talked about this week at March Break Camp. How Jesus gives us hope, Jesus gives us love, Jesus gives us direction, Jesus gives us courage, and you could say follow him. And how Jesus gives us his love. It's the invitation for you and I to follow him. But it's also for you and I the reminder of victory, of greatness, which is to become like a little child and to worship God. And as this passage lays out, the disciples find themselves having to go looking for a donkey. Picture, you've just been doing all these miracles. You've just been doing telling people all about Jesus. And now Jesus says, I want you to go and look for a donkey. It's interesting to note, if you've got your Bibles open or you're following on an app, that the majority of the text is about the disciples going to look for this donkey, and very few verses in these 11 verses actually on the triumphal entry or the parade that is going into Jerusalem. I believe there's a reason for that, and I believe that reason is that God wants us to be in the place where we'll follow him. If Jesus is willing to be so out there, to break all the stereotypes, to set himself aside from everything that's expected, maybe God wants you and I this morning to let go and let God. Because that going to look for a donkey, although Jesus didn't know it, was significant. just like the people that built the set, the people that walked behind the scenes with Marlene and Jack as they planned March Break Camp, to the people that handed out the bulletins, to the people that are upstairs right now in our nursery, all things that nobody sees, but were so important so that God could do his work. And so when Jesus rides, he rides in humility, he rides in peace, but he also rides in power. Because in riding an untamed colt, he is showing his power over the untamed animals and of creation. And in doing so, he uproots the mighty. He convicts the wayward. He gives comfort to the distressed. And he invites you and I to do the same thing this morning. In what ways is God calling you and I this morning to follow him? To not just lay down a branch or lay down a coat, but simply to follow Jesus. You see, those who were there that Palm Sunday had an idea that they were saved because they were a Jew. Because of their status as being a Jew would somehow arbitrarily save them. And they hear Jesus preaching and teaching about mercy and of grace and of the need for himself to follow him. And they get upset, just like Herod and Pilate, just like the religious leaders. But why did Jesus move so quickly and so quietly? Why the bold teaching and preaching? Why all the miracles? He's getting the people ready, isn't he? When he fed the 5,000, when he healed people of leprosy, when he cast out demons, when he overturned the table in the temple, God was doing something so that people would remember, that it would stick in their heads the great things that God had done and was doing. And now, when he comes into Jerusalem, he says, I want you to come down. I want you to lay down your cloak. I want you to lay down your palm branch. I want you to come and to follow me, to surrender yourselves. And the political ramifications are huge, because his kingdom will have no end. Can you picture what the gospel of Jesus does to our understanding of power? For the leaders of our country, for the United Nations, for groups like ISIS, who will learn that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. To our own power, to our petty nationalism, to our fickle faith, for our poor understanding of power. And so people will often do a lot of things when they're in a crowd. They will worship. They will say things that they would not normally have ever said. But this morning, I believe God wants you and I to pause this morning. To pause and to consider our understanding of Jesus. To consider our own worship. Our own statement where we say, I'll follow him. Because if you know Jesus this morning, God wants you to say, not because you have to, not because your spouse wants you to, not because your family expects it of you, but he simply wants you to say, I will follow. Save me. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I hope that this morning, through the songs and through God's word this morning, that you will simply pause, that you will reflect, and you will consider this Jesus who rode in humility for you and for me, who will move to Friday, now die, and will move to Sunday, who will rise again from the dead, so you and I might be able to enjoy him forever. Because what happens is the story changes. Those who said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord were the same ones who would later on say, crucify, crucify, away with him. So let's pause and let's ask ourselves this morning, what do we believe about the Jesus who rode into Jerusalem in humility? My prayer is that, if not today, in this coming week, you and I would be able to say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, who came to save me for all of eternity. Amen. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray about a number of things. And as we do, I want to just say welcome back to Phil and Jeanette. I think I saw them. There they are. Welcome back. For those of you who don't know Phil and Jeanette, they have been serving as missionaries and are home for a short stay. And we look forward to later on hearing about what God is doing, not only in them, but through their work as well. So let's together pray. Lord, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that you have fulfilled and continue to fulfill your word. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for Palm Sunday. May the uncomfortableness of you riding in such humility into a power-driven society, much like today, Lord, shake up our story, shake up our understanding. Make us wrestle with who you are and what you have come to do in our lives and in your world. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would have your way within us as we walk towards Friday and as we walk towards Easter, Lord, that we too may rejoice in the Messiah who came into the world for us. We thank you that we can do that in a variety of ways. Lord, we thank you for March Break Camp. We thank you for the 100-plus kids that were here this week. We pray that the word that was shared to them would sink deep into their heart, into their being. And Lord, that they may respond with great joy and great delight. And Lord, one day, we would have the privilege of hearing them say that they want to live for Jesus. Lord, continue to feed that seed within them. Lord, we thank you for Phil and Jeanetta and their work. Lord, we pray that that too would bear much fruit. Lord, we pray that you would use the African Inland Church, Lord, to touch not only the area of Wasna, but Lord, the area beyond that. Lord, with the good news of the gospel in word and in deed, we thank you for their opportunity to go there in the area of agriculture and medicine. Lord, we just pray that that would bear much fruit. Lord, not only spiritually, but physically and in the health of the individuals and the opportunity, Lord, to simply improve their lives. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for all of us to follow you. Lord, whether it be in the nursery, whether it be those who handed out the bulletins this morning, who do sound or do PowerPoint or were leading on stage this morning, we just thank you, Lord, that all of that is so significant because it enables you to do what you want to do here this morning. And Lord, we just pray that you would bear much fruit through the gifts that have been offered this morning and continue to be offered, Lord, in a variety of different ways. And we pray, God, that you would use your church to continue to tell the story of the coming, the risen, and the coming again Messiah, who again will ride into the story of humanity. And there we will hear every tongue, every nation, every tribe declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and will bend their knee to you. Until that day, O God, may your church be a profound voice in the world for you. In your name we pray.